Blog Talk Radio.
Scene as well. So welcome to the Blitz. Oscar Lopez here, along with the lovely Erica Lynn Anderson, who's absent today, and we hope to have her back soon. But an exciting week of NFL. Everybody playing out in different facets. Interesting season. We got Cincinnati Bengals, Arizona Cardinals undefeated. I thought we'd never hear that. Bengals, Cardinals undefeated. It's a good sign for the NFC West at this point. The Niners had to win today, a must win against the undefeated Eagles coming in. And then you also have the Bengals, who are now pretty much in a good driver's seat in that division with the Ravens and Steelers. Steelers losing today, Ravens obviously coming up with a win. So we are going to have a good show today. We're expected to have Coach Deion Lee today. We'll be discussing the Premier 7 football and the movement. We will have him on here, and he should be calling in. And we will have pretty much the rundown on the women's game. And the expectation right now in the ladies' full kit seasons in Australia, we have an exciting time. The AFT season ended, and you had the Central Spears taking on the Diamonds Gridiron, and they went out last night in the first inaugural Camp Barrel Bowl, and they took care of business, and they become the undefeated champs with a 3-22 victory, about a 5 touchdowns or so scored in that game. So congratulations to the ACT Gridiron champion, Central Spears, who win their season undefeated as well. I want to give a shout-out to Peter Farrar, the coach of the legendary Logan City Jets, and, of course, the founder of the Female Gridiron League of Queensland. And he won his 350th game. That's his coaching game. So congratulations to him. And all the amazing players that obviously have played for him and given him that amount of wins. So congratulations to him, 350th victory down under. Gridiron Victoria set the kickoff here in a couple more weeks. It will be the Western Foxes trying to defend their title. So we'll keep tabs on that on Twitter and on Facebook as the season progresses well there. And want to give a sad news happened over the weekend on the Newswire a couple of days ago. The expectation of LFL Australia was supposed to kick off in a couple of weeks here. In about 4 weeks was the expectation. There was a lot of hype going for it. The second season, an additional team in the Adelaide Arsenal added to the schedule. They were supposed to be playing, instead of 4 games, 6 games. Unfortunately, some financial and internal things going on with the ownership and in the Australian government, as well as some things outside of the game itself, that has now caused a cancellation of the entire LFL Australia season, which we broke out news on that a couple of days ago. We were still waiting for more details, but we had a lot of players on Facebook and on Twitter obviously confirm that this now has happened. The hopefulness here is that some financial resolve will happen, but if not, the season is canceled. So we're going to obviously look forward to the remaining seasons. We still have the Gridiron Queensland in the mix right now. You can get the updates at Women's Gridiron, and as well as on the individual Facebook pages on Logan City Logan City Jets on Facebook as well. But we will keep tabs with that. But the LFL Australia season was supposed to be the hype of the second season. They lost their television deal with Sevenmate, and that caused a little ripple there as well. So now the hope at this point from what we're gathering and what insiders are telling us as of this week, the hope is that there will be a new league within Australia next year. It's a non-full kit league, similar to the LFL, and it will be the Ladies Gridiron League of Australia, and that will it's set to kick off in 2015. So the more details we get, trying to get some context as to how that's going to evolve, how different it will be from LFL Australia. Rumor at this point, all rumors, rumor is some of the stars of LFL Australia will obviously venture into this new league. And then if that's the case, obviously fans will be familiar with certain names, you know, like Bonnie Gillespie, you know, and the other stars that were on that league. So we will keep tabs on that for you guys. But NFL Week 4, exciting. It kicked off in London. Miami Dolphins look like a contending team, but unfortunately they play the Raiders, so it's not like it's a big deal here. The Raiders are a real slide here. They're coaching questionable. A lot of things happening in Oakland. The three-headed monsters that are leading the Oakland Raiders there are being questioned at this point. The team is an older veteran team. There should be no reason why they have not been playing up to the potential. Their quarterback's a young quarterback in Derek Carr. But despite all that that's happened, Miami cruises in London. Even though Miami is also questioning themselves, yet players questioning the play calling from the coaches, and a win, I guess, cures all. So we're looking at that situation right now. But overall, Miami goes into London and takes care of the Oakland Raiders. And so Oakland now has to find a way to rebound. They have a tough schedule going forward. A lot of good teams they're going to play. They put up only about 2 touchdowns per game. Miami 38-14 this week. You have San Diego just looking like a super team versus the Jacksonville Jaguars. And you had Blake Bortles, not good enough versus Phillip Rivers, of course. But he did play, I think he's over 253 yards, 1 TD, 2 interceptions. So that wasn't such a bad outing. Overall, San Diego looks like a prime team, especially within that division, which is Denver, the Broncos itself. You got Kansas City on Monday night taking on Tom Brady. We'll see how Kansas City rebounds to stay in contention there. The Bills lose. The Jets lose. So it kind of forces New England with a must-win to stay up on top in the division in the AFC East. So we'll see how Tom Brady turns out on Monday night. It should be a good game. Kansas City runs the ball somewhat pretty well. So it's just going to be a good showing. New England has been questionable all season. Everybody's been questioning things. Unfortunately, we don't have Erica Lynn Anderson to defend the Patriots on this show. But unfortunately, if she was here, I'm pretty sure you would hear the disappointment as well in her team. So New England will have a better showing on Monday. And so we'll go through the rundown at this point. You know, Patriots against the Chiefs, crucial game for both teams at this point, like I said. And then tonight you also had Dallas, back-to-back wins, beating my Rams last week and then obviously taking care of the Saints. The Saints just laying an egg. Did just not play well tonight, 38-17. The Houdat Nation just very angry on Twitter, voicing their discomfort with this, you know, the defense, the offense. Sean Payton, I don't know what's going on over in New Orleans, but the bottom line is they lose 38-17. They're on a downswing, and they got to turn it around somehow. Ravens take care of Carolina. Steve Smith basically facing his old team, 38-10, and kind of a great showing there. Joe Flacco, Steve Smith Sr. Carolina just seems to be the same of all. It started out pretty well, a good story, and then it turns out that they're not that great after all. So Baltimore stays in contention within the division with Cincinnati. So you're looking, like I said, on a very good battle there, but you also have Cleveland and Pittsburgh kind of on the downslide. I truly think the Browns should come up with a better win, hopefully down the road here in a week or two, but the Pittsburgh Steelers, a lot of penalties, a lot of disciplinary things going on there. Even Coach Tomlin said they got issues, so at this point they got to fix them because their schedule is not going to get any easier at this point. Indianapolis takes on Tennessee. Tennessee was the starting team of the 2 weeks coming into the season. They looked really well. They showcased something, you know, in good nature in terms of output, but all of a sudden now we're in week four and they look ordinary once again. So 41-17, Indianapolis, like I said, 20th state within pace, and the revival of the Houston Texans, 23-17, they beat Buffalo, another team that started out really hot the first 2 weeks of the season, beating the Bears in week one, and all of a sudden they're now going back to earth. Basically, the Texans edge Buffalo. Buffalo's still a great team, pretty good, decent team, up and coming, and I think they have a lot of things to show for in the coming weeks. But unfortunately, against Houston, J.J. Watt, just a beast. The guy is earning his money. That's all we got to say. The guy's earning his money, and he's doing a great job, and he's helping his team, obviously, win. Aaron Rodgers, Chicago versus Packers, kind of a historic matchup every time. So Green Bay goes into Chicago 38-17. The Bears coming off a win off San Francisco, and all of a sudden now they go down on a slide as well with Jay Cutler and everybody else. They got injuries, of course, so that's a big factor, but they just couldn't muster it and couldn't keep up with Green Bay. Green Bay kind of showcases their rebound motion, so we'll see how that works out. You have the Vikings and the Falcons. No Adrian Peterson. Everybody just assumed that since he's not there, the Vikings are just going to crumble. Not the case here. Teddy Bridgewater debuts in a huge way with a win, and at the same time, a lot of contributions from a lot of players. And so the Vikings put up 41 points to the surprise of the fan base, and they take care of the Falcons 28 and Atlanta. I don't know if they're for real or not, but Atlanta, Carolina, at this point on a downslide. Tampa Bay no better at this point, even though they did win today. They edged the Steelers 27-24 and about 7 seconds left in the game. So the Steelers just giving away some games here. They cannot punch out and they cannot keep themselves in the matchups. So the Bucs kind of rebound in that sequence. So it's good for them that they actually get a win. It's kind of a moral win at that point. The Eagles fall off the edge of the undefeated as San Francisco also edges them 26-21. The Niners win at Levi Stadium for the first time, and Kaepernick showcases some of his magic, and the Niners edge the Eagles. The Eagles are now basically back to square one. They're back to earth. The only undefeated teams in the NFL at this point currently, we're going to have the Bengals and the Cardinals. And to nobody's surprise, I think Arizona has shown that they're a better team. They put together a great squad. The coach is a good coach. So to me, it's just a matter of time before Arizona blossoms. It's in a tough division, obviously Seattle, San Francisco. They're going to be the teams to beat. If they can beat them too consistently on their two swings that they face each other, I think Arizona will be considered for real. And that's a good sign for them going forward at this point. Cincinnati the same way. Andy Dalton and company, they're showing that obviously they want to own the AFC division that they're in, and they want to take care of business. And the only obstacle, I think, in that division right now, based on the other three teams, is Baltimore. So Baltimore is probably the only obstacle for them at this point. Let's talk about Tampa Bay for a little bit. The woes, and with the winning against the Steelers, kind of a good boost. Obviously, Mike Glennon and Vincent Jackson hooking up 7 seconds. You got to give them a little bit of prop there. Lovie Smith, hopefully this is a start to a winning formula going forward here in the next couple weeks. But the bottom line is the monkey's off their back. They're not winless, and that's a good sign for that. So we'll see how that transpires going forward. The rookie debuts of Bridgewater, like I said, led the Vikings to 41 points against Atlanta, 19 of 30, 317 yards with, I think it was 131 in 13-yard run for a touchdown. So that was great. Blake Bortles debuted with the Jacksonville, but unfortunately he got to face Phillip Rivers, so that wasn't such a great positive matchup. So 29 of 37, 253 one TD plus two interceptions. So that's the rundown in the NFL at this point. In the Liga Iberoamericana de Football, the LIBF had their matchup exhibition 27th of September. It was the Angels taking on the Red Devils. Red Devils featuring one of our No Joke Football supporters, which is Sophia of Envy. And it was 27-0, and the Angels defeat the Red Devils. And shout out to Safera Deportes, at Safera Deportes and at Radio Man, for giving us the updates and the scores for those matchups as well. And so Mexico heating up at this point. You got FFX Mexico season coming up as well. Full kit Mexico, top league there for the females. And we will basically cover them all season long, as well as on Twitter and Facebook as their season progresses. They've done a good job the last two seasons. At this point, they continue to do a great job. So we're going to kind of be an exciting season. The NFL, basically, of the Women's League of Mexico, and they've done a good job of promoting it. They've done a good job of making sure that it's high caliber. And so shout out, and hopefully we will showcase their stars like we've done the last couple seasons as well. So we'll see about Coach Lee's supposed to call in today. We had scheduled to do that. Don't know if he's going to be able to do this once again, but I apologize at this point if he's not coming on. We'll have to either reschedule at this point once again. And but the movement that we were talking about is the Premier 7 football. It's a high school college movement to make sure that the opportunity is there for girls to get the opportunity to play just like the boys do in the NCAA and the NIA in college or in high school or in junior college, kind of forces the colleges to an equality state to make sure that the girls are getting the opportunity to have either a team or a squad assembled so that the girls can also participate in playing American football. It's done at a lower level in certain aspects, obviously with flag football as a starting point, and then it's progressed in certain countries as well, like in Canada and different areas in terms of the United States, where there are some programs allow for girls to play full kit, helmet, just like the boys do when they're growing up. But at this point, the movement is really just to make sure that colleges or high schools that are large enough at this point to put a program together need to commit to a program so that girls can also have the alternative to play gridiron full kit football. But we'll see how that turns out. At this point, the movement, and you can follow them at Premier 7 Football with one L at the end, at Premier 7 Football to get the details. You can also go to our Facebook page at Facebook.com/Gridiron Beauties, and we have the movement information there. I want to give a shout out to Miss Gridiron, who has redesigned her website. It's a great website. She's updated it all completely. And you want to follow her, Gridiron 9, as well as you can go to MissGridiron.com. There's a new apparel you can order and pre-order, depending on what's available there. And you also get an opportunity to put up a video. I believe it's till October, at the end of October here, to put up a video of why you love football and why you play football as a girl, and why the movement is important for the awareness. So you can go to our Facebook page as well, or you can go to MissGridiron.com for all the details. You want to check out the flag football, the World Championships of Flag Football. All the details are going to be at GIQuindom.com. You can also follow them at GIQuindom. So the network of awareness for promoting women's tackle football, you are actually hearing it and listening to it right now. Front runners, pioneers that we are going to take it to the next level. We are promoting on our end the No Joke Football Project. It is a project that has started about 2 or 3 years ago. It is in full-blown momentum right now. We hook up ourselves with the best players on the planet, individual leagues. Our goal is to put these players front and center in front of the mass social media, as well as their individual countries and individual local markets, to express to everybody that women do play high-caliber American football, and these are the talented individuals that you should be watching. So we have hooked up with amazing up-and-coming photographers that have supported us, and they're giving us their time. They're passionate about the girls playing football. Some of the photographers even play American football themselves. So it's a promotion that we're going to do. It's a worldwide effort. It's global. We just want to thank Liza Thomas. She put out our shoot this week of the MVP of the Queensland League, as well as the Queensland Sun Devils and the Logan City Jets, champion Christy Moran. And she is on our Facebook page as well right now and our Twitter feed, and you can check out the shoot, the amazing shoot. She's sporting our Gridiron Running Back Vision shirt, her No Joke Football leggings that you can get at our shop 24/7. We hooked up with Zazzle.com, which has been an amazing partnership with us. Great customer service, international shipping, and they've done a fantastic job of promoting our storefronts in every language imaginable. So if you want to go to the shop, the main shop, which is at the U.S. site, which is Zazzle.com/Gridiron Beauties, you can check out the apparel. It is the largest women's gridiron shop in the world that we know of, and it is the largest women's gridiron shop on the Zazzle site. So we're very proud of the achievements that we've garnered so far. Very proud of all the females and all the girls and the women that have supported us, that are supporting our brand, that believe in our brand, and they're giving us the uplift to promote the sport in a bold movement, which is No Joke Football. We want to give the statement out, and women are playing American football, and this is a true sport, and it is no joke. It is real. It's here, and it's going to stay. So we want to give a shout-out also, like I said, to G.I. Queendom, who does an amazing job also of promoting the sport. And that's why we hooked up with all the partners that we hook up on our network. So our network consists of the G.I. Queendoms, at G.I. Queendom, at Miss Gridiron 9, at MissGridiron.com, and you WomensTackleFootball.com. So that's WFBT Talk on Twitter. So we are going to be all over the map as with the coming months come across. And overall, we want to thank, like I said, our photographers, amazing photographers. We got Rich Brain off of UK, Creek Division off of Mexico, Corey at Fodia, a photo in the U.S., as well as Liza Thomas, like I mentioned before. So we have a couple more photographers that we're working with. We appreciate their patience. It's going to take some time. The revenue off of our shop, promotional revenue, so in other words, the more everyone buys, the revenue goes into kidding another player. So we want to actually be able to take that revenue. We don't make a profit off of it, so the revenue that comes off the sales for each shirt, leggings, or anything you buy at the shop goes towards promoting another top player, another MVP player, another outstanding performer in a league that we feel needs to be showcased. So going forward here, we still got the German leagues to showcase, the Swedish leagues, the Finnish leagues. We're working towards the European scene at this point within the next 6 to 7 months. In 2015, our goal is really to dive into Canada to support the Maritime, the Central Canadian Women's Football League, as well as the Western Canadian Women's Football League. So that's our goal for 2015, kind of elevate the North American scene and try to get ourselves into that branch and support, obviously, the women's game in that sense, and getting ready for the 2017 Women's World Championships. That's our goal. Hopefully just put some sort of sponsorship out there and work with Team USA as well to collaborate and go forward. So that's pretty much on the scene itself. We are doing a contest on our Twitter feed, as well as we posted on our Facebook page. But if you follow us on Twitter, it's really simple. We have a contest. We hooked up with Victoria's Secrets of all brands, and we got some feedback from a lot of girls, and we want to have some fun during the NFL season. So breast cancer awareness is number one for this month. So what we decided to do is we kick off a contest to bring that to light. So with the breast cancer awareness month, we are going to have what they call sexy NFL jersey Sundays. So on game days between the October month, all Sundays, you're able to post a pic in a sexy outfit of your choice, as long as you have your favorite NFL jersey on, with any props you want, football, anything. So just quickly go all out. The most retweets off the post. So whatever you post, we will retweet that photo. And if that photo gets the most retweets at the end of the month, on the 27th of October, we will pick one winner to give out a $25 Victoria's Secret gift card. So spread the word, share it on Facebook, retweet on Twitter. Let's get going. Week one starts next week. So next weekend in October, the NFL, Sexy NFL Jersey Contest will start, and we will see who our winner will be at the end of the month. So let's get everybody out there. You know, even if you're a fan, if you have not played women's gridiron, that's not a problem. If you have played women's gridiron, bring it on and showcase your stuff with your favorite NFL team. It could be creative. Get creative, tailgating, sexy as you want to get. At the same time, if you know, the fans will decide who's the best winner at the end of the month. So we want to go ahead and have a great time with that. So hopefully we do that. I just want to just mention Erica Lynn Anderson is not with us right now the last couple weeks. Unfortunately, she's going to have some surgery happening this week. It's you know, something that needs to be taken care of, and unfortunately that's more important than about being on the show and co-hosting. But I will tell you that you can still follow at Gridiron Girls for updates on anything to do with college football and tailgating. And obviously the fantasy football league is still in full swing. She's trying to manage that as well with the great staff that it is at gridirongirl.org. And you can go to gridirongirl.org for, like I said, all the latest updates on the college scene. And they got some great articles there. So if you're interested in that, go there now and check out all the writers. As well as want to give a shout-out to at NFL Female. They got a great site out there as well. And you got great insights from a lot of the top you know, women that cover the sport. And it's all covered by all the females on NFLfemale.com. So you can go there as well and get insights on the NFL, on your favorite team, and what the girls are thinking and what's going to happen here week to week. And you can follow us on Huddle. Our huddles are every Thursday night as well as Sunday night and Monday night. And you can follow the Huddle. And on Twitter, you can see the links to the various sites. So at NFL Female, at NFL Girlfriends. We also follow at Blamber. We also get at Blue Mare, at Female Football 12, as well as at Female Football 3. There's a lot of links there, but all the girls are very insightful. We have a great time on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday. And it's a, you know, join us and retweet and put your insights as well. Just looks like Coach Lee is not going to show up for us today. So what we're going to do is we're just going to reschedule once again. I do apologize for everybody wanting to listen to Coach Lee for the football Premier 7 football and the movement. So we will go ahead and reschedule with him and figure out a better time to do that. In the meantime, we have an opportunity, like I said, to support the brands and support Gridiron Women's Tackle. And if you follow us on Facebook, you get most of the details week to week. If you follow us on Twitter on a daily basis, you can interact with us, and we can talk about football in general, fitness, nutrition, and overall women's gridiron altogether. Our number to call in if you want to talk to us tonight, it's 1-714-888-7418, 1-714-888-7418. If you want to talk NFL, you want to talk about women's gridiron, give us a chime in. We are going to be here for another 30 minutes. Once the 30 minutes is up, we're closing the shop. We'll be back here next week with another guest or so. So let's go into detail. The LFL Australia non-kickoff at this point, 4 weeks out. I've been very vocal about ownership in the past, more vocal now so than anything because of the fact that this is just kind of hogwash. This is just a bad situation. I don't understand why, you know, if you're not able to financially support a venture, it's better just to be upfront together, you know, something of a conference and say, this is not going to happen. Instead of hyping, having the girls go through all this strenuous training, dedication and devotion and hard-earned money out of their pocket to go in and go out, the coaching staff as well. I mean, you put a lot of people out, and I don't want to consider it pimping, but I got to go there. It's kind of pimping at this point. It's just a matter of taken care of. And in the worst case scenario at this point with this league, it was you ended up sending and requesting some players and asking them probably to come over from the U.S. To help out with promotions and to be on squads to bring in some ticket sales, and all of a sudden you end up canceling the whole shebang. And now they lost money on their flights. At this point, rumor is they're not getting reimbursed for that. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. But you got a lot of issues internally with the structure. It's not a good business plan at this point. The survival for the season, the fans are the ones that lose out on this whole ultimate adventure. Fans were hooked up to this, and now the fans that also bought tickets now get refunded. But the disappointment, I think, it's the ultimate here. You're dealing with something that isn't going to be sustainable. And unfortunately, rumor has it this owner has been banned from Australia for 3 years. We're trying to confirm a lot of the details at this point. And that's a bad deal when you're doing things the wrong way. I understand you want to, do your own thing and you got egos and stuff. But the bottom line is, sharing revenue with players is the only way you're going to progress and grow a league. You have to have participation on both ends. You cannot have one end of the other and you consider yourself just the end on all be all, and your downfall is going to be there. So the question now will be, the LFL Canada girls in Canada decided that, the middle finger goes to Mitchell Mortaza at this point because he obviously accused them of being liars. So those girls completely stood up and said, the hell with you. We're not dealing with you, and we're just moving on. And he's not returned there. There's a couple girls on the BC squad that decided to go ahead and, participate in Seattle. Maybe that's a questionable thing now at this point. Now they're thinking twice about, what this ownership does and what it's not doing and what it's not doing going forward. I mentioned before in the state of the league that he made the speech on, and we're talking about Mitchell Mortaza, not once in that speech was there revenue sharing to the player. It was just a matter of growth for him. It was a matter of progression for him. There's TV deals that are being presented on the official website as we got a great deal here in South Africa. We got a great deal in the UK. We got a great deal in Germany. We're voicing ourselves in Asia. Okay, well, if you're getting all these great deals, okay, the money is what revenue is coming out of that. How is it being shared with the players? The players cannot make money. That's a wrong method of business planning. Everybody knows in the NFL, the players can have outside sponsorships with any company, any type of branding that they choose. And at that point, the player is self-supporting themselves outside of the game of football. They got their normal contract within the league, and then they got themselves a great deal outside sponsoring whatever other brands or what brands feel that they obviously need to be sponsored. It's a revenue-sharing mentality. It's a marketing tool. Just like the player will be marketed from a different brand, it will still bring attention to the league. I just don't understand whether this owner understands the concept of marketing. I don't understand if this owner understands the concept of revenue sharing. I don't believe this owner is committed to the players. Okay? He talks a good game when he's on a podium, an announcement, or some sort of award show. All these struggles have happened. But the bottom line is, nothing's going to happen unless you allow the player, to have some sort of compensation from you, and at the same time allow the player to acquire sponsorship outside of the regular league form in order for them to bring more attention to the league as well as bring attention to themselves. So there's a mistake there. I'm talking to the Ladies Gridiron League of Australia right now. If you can master this, if you can take this concept, which is revenue sharing, the players do not care whether you pay them $25 a game, whether you pay them $200 a game. They don't care because at the beginning, it's not a matter of the amount of money you're going to get per game. What it is, it's the amount of people you're going to get in the seats to view your product. Compensation for the player should be fair. At the beginning of a structured league, you're going to know that revenue, you're going to lose money. You're going to lose money. Understand up front, you are going to lose money. It's going to take you a year or two to even become relevant. So you have to understand that the money is going to be negative for X amount of seasons, two seasons, three seasons. But the bottom line is the player needs to be compensated in some format, whether you compensate the starters with a certain percent of ticket sales or whether you compensate the non-starters with just a flat rate that you can come up with. So that's an option there. But at the same time, you have to give the player the opportunity to acquire sponsorship on their own. If they acquire sponsorship on their own, they're able to promote that branding plus incorporate that branding in a positive light that the league supports it. The fan relates to the league and the fan and the player now become as one, and at the same time, the sponsorship from the player helps to promote the league on a non, you know, non-dollar motion, because now you're not putting out money to do self-promoting. Now the sponsor of that player will also be sponsoring that player within the league scope, and you're going to get revenue off of that. So if you understand that concept as a business person, you pretty much understand what you're getting into at this point and how the league will grow. So let's hope that the LGL understands the concept of that promotion. The player needs to be paid no matter what, whether it be travel time, whether you pay the player for practice time, gas money, whatever you feel is worth it. The player and the league need to sit down and come up with a fair compensation package that will be happy and makes everybody happy at the beginning, with the understanding of course, that the player understands that they're not going to get money up front, big money from ticket sales, but they're going to get compensated for time and effort, which is gas money or compensation for going back to practice and going on game days. That's still a start. It's the revenue part that needs to be in a box. It needs to be accounted for first and foremost before you kick off. Because if that's the place right there, once ticket sales grow, you can always have a revisit. You can always have a re-sit down. And now we go to percentages about the amount of percent that is going to be allocated based on ticket sales to the top players that the fans come to see. The top player, the star players on each squad, obviously you're going to get a higher percent of revenue than anybody that isn't a caliber player. That just allows every other player that is not caliber, considered caliber, to step up their game to become a very high caliber player in the eyes of the fans, and the fans themselves will dictate the ticket sales and makes your job a little better. When you're competing with major sports, as you do in the United States, you probably do in Australia, for example, or in UK with soccer, you cannot not have a sales force. And that's the one thing the LFL has lacked in 5 seasons. They don't have a sales force. You must have a sales force of a league. You cannot have players, you know, go out there sweating themselves out and do promotions 24/7 to bring in tickets. Just not going to happen. You've got to have another method of streaming ticket sales into your system, and at the same time gathering sponsors. The method of girls going out there doing promotions, that's okay. The method of the girls going out there and hooking up on Hooters and stuff like that is great, but that's not going to bring you 7,000 fans. It's not going to bring you. It might bring you a couple hundred. Might bring you even up to 1,200 fans, but it's not going to fill up a seat or an arena that is 7,000 in the books. Not going to happen. So with that understanding, what I'm trying to convey to here is the fact that Mitchell Mortaza has missed the boat. 5 seasons in, he has missed the boat. Opportunity on MTV2 to showcase his brand. He decided, because of his ego being a little bigger than he is, he decided to shaft the MTV squad, you know, the MTV producers, and at that point, it was obsolete. And we've talked to Pete Richmire before. We've talked to Jim Wallen. We've talked to everybody that was involved within that time frame, and the answer is the same. This individual owner, unfortunately, doesn't understand business. And if he did understand business, he would understand that it's delicate relationships. You must cater to the person that is going to showcase you. You cannot put demands because your brand isn't big enough to put demands. You don't have a big enough brand to put demands on anybody. So you are going to go with whoever gives you an opportunity to showcase that brand, whether you want to have a say or not. The point is, you've got to give somebody else some creativity and allow them to go ahead and go forward with it. But if you don't, this is where you end up at. You end up canceling a season. You end up canceling a couple games during the season because you cannot pay the arena fee to showcase the games. You cannot pay the players at this point. So there's a lot of intangibles that go into play with that. So enough said for that, but at the same time, I feel bad for, you know, Shari Onley. I feel bad for Bonnie Gillespie. The rest of the girls, that have played their hearts out in season one in NFL Australia. And so all I can say is I hope that they rebound with all these rumors coming up saying that the Ladies Gridiron League is going to come to fruition and it's going to be way better than the NFL Australia. And let's hope that that happens. I'm trying to acquire right now some of the personnel that worked with the NFL Australia so they can give us some insights and we can have a conversation about why this thing ended, what the intangibles were behind the scenes, and what it's going to take together a brand new league in Australia to survive in a non-full kit motion that will be enticing to the fan, but at the same time, it should be profitable long-term and have a great business success there as well. So if you haven't checked out the league, you can go at LGLAUST on Twitter as well as the Ladies Gridiron League on Facebook as well. So check them out. See what they're all about. 2015 is the kickoff motion for them, and we hope for them that everything works out as well. Coming up, it's going to be Gridiron Victoria, the Western Foxes, the Northern Lady Raiders, UTS Gridiron. You got a lot of teams going into that motion in October. We were hoping, like I said, LFLAU was going to be the spotlight of everything, but now we're going to be pretty much spotlighting Gridiron Victoria because, like I said, the Western Foxes are really, really good team, and we look forward to that as well, the contest. And then the end result of the Queensland League as well, they run down towards the playoff motion. We're going to go dive into FX Mexico in the next couple months as we go into Mexico on the long stretch there. And then we're going to get into the fall season of LIBF, which is beyond the classified season. Now we're going to get to the regular season. So that should be exciting time. So we'll be covering Mexico and a little bit of Australia as we go forward into the Christmas motion here in the U.S. through December and January. And all the tryouts information for the regular women's league, which is in the U.S. leagues, we're talking the WSFL, the IWFL, and the WFA. So you can get all the information there at WFB Talk. They usually keep up with everything that's coming up. You can also go to Miss Gridiron 9, and WFB Talk usually keeps up with all the tryout dates, as well as the individual teams that are on Twitter as well. And we, 9 times out of 10, we'll post some relevant ones week to week, depending on what week's coming up. We'll try to post the posts on the tryouts. But if you want information, more information on tryouts, like I said, go to at WFB Talk, which is womensfootballtalk.com, or you can follow the individual league links, IWFL, or at WSFL Football as well on Twitter. And you can go to their links there on their Twitter feed, and they'll take you to their websites as well for the new seasons that are coming up. A lot of changes in the Women's Tackle Football League in the U.S. as well. There's a lot of teams flopping leagues right now based on, obviously, expenses and travel, and it happens almost every season, so it's kind of the normal. So at this point, all the breaking news and updates on the new teams, you can always go to the Women's Football Tackle Board at the Ning.com board if you haven't gone there yet, or you can go to the individual sites, like I said, at WFA Football or IWFL or WSFL. We'll be also covering the springtime as it comes in the U.S. We'll also be covering the Central Canadian Football League as well as the Maritime Football League and the Western Canadian Football League in Canada. So it's just an exciting time for women's gridiron as well as, you know, getting up and running. Australia is a real hotbed for that. Kind of excited for 2017 and making sure that everybody, drives towards that. With Team USA and Team Canada now really behind the women's kit game, it's going to be very exciting to see that as well. So 9 times out of 10, follow us at Gridiron Beauty. You can go to Facebook at gridironbeauties.com. Visit the shop. We really would love some feedback. You can leave comments at the shop as well. Go to our website on the shop at zazzle.com/gridironbeauties. You can go ahead and leave us any comments on the shirts, positive, negative. We just want to improve our designs if that's the case. Or at the same time, if they're awesome designs, please leave us a note on there. If you do go to the site at the thezazzle.com/Gridiron Views, which is the No Joke Football site. If you leave a comment there, please leave your Twitter handle. We would love to interact, and thank you for obviously coming to the site and giving us feedback as well. If you go to the Twitter timeline this week, we have a couple folks that obviously are supporting our brand, and we want to give a shout-out, like I said, Christian Moran, as well as Connie Fecaretti out of the Canadian League as well. And we also have a couple more girls coming up with the gear. So we want to thank everybody for their efforts. We have Sophia Venvi, Muna Randia coming up in the next couple weeks as on a shoot. And they should be able to, and I know they're going to look amazing once the results come up. So we appreciate them as well. And the amazing thank you to Sam Gordon for supporting our No Joke Football gear as well. So a great supporter of ours since day one. She's an amazing young lady. And follow her journey at YouTube at Sam Gordon. So you can go to YouTube/SweetFeet, and you can go ahead and check her out, or you can just search Sam Gordon on the YouTube channel. And it's a great season review for her. Check it out. And we have posted on Instagram her latest photo of within season. It's an awesome photo. Go check it out at Instagram.com. You can go use the hashtag NoJokeFootball, or you can go directly to the Gridiron Beauties on Instagram. We're also on Pinterest as well, and on Facebook and Twitter. So for Oscar Lopez and Erica Lynn Anderson, we wish her well this surgery coming up this week, and we expect her back within a couple weeks after that for recovery time. So for the next couple weeks in October, we wish her well and a happy Halloween for her as well. And recovery time, we to have her back here in the month of November. So in the meantime, anybody wants to co-host a show with us within that short time frame that she's out, you are welcome to go ahead and send me a link on Twitter, direct message me, just follow us at Gridiron Beauty. Let me know that you're interested in doing the show. We can hook you up on how to do it and how to take care of it, and also at the same time, how to be involved. So it's pretty easy. We talk women's gridiron. We talk NFL every Sunday, and we bring in an amazing guest to chat with as well. So if you want to get hooked up for the next 4 weeks while Erica's out, give me a direct message on Twitter, at Gridiron Beauty with an IE, and then we can hook you up as well. So for Coach Lee, I think we'll go ahead and reset with him next week and see if we can bring him on board in the next couple weeks so that we can confirm that date. So we're going to have a couple more guests next week for that. And then we'll try to hook up some guests from the LFL Australia backward scenes in terms of why that happened, why the collapse, and all that going forward. So you can always call into our show on Sundays at 1-714-888-7418, 1-714-888-7418. But other than that, thank you for listening. We look forward to Week 5 in the NFL. Give you the rundowns again. Green Bay wins 38-17 over Chicago. Houston 23. Buffalo 17, Indianapolis 41, Tennessee 17, Baltimore 38, Carolina 10, Detroit 24, the Jets 17. I know Erica's probably smiling right now because obviously they're faltering and they were supposed to be the top contenders. Tampa Bay gets their first win of the season, 27 to Pittsburgh 24. So if you're a Pittsburgh fan, like at Bamber, you're obviously not a happy camper right now. Miami 38 and Oakland 14. So if you're a Raiderland fan, like Nicole Rodriguez, you're probably not a happy camper right now either. So San Diego 33 at Jacksonville 14. So obviously Danielle Harvey, pretty excited and probably very, very up mode right now as the Superchargers are winning pretty easily. So 33-14, and Phillip Rivers looking like Tom Brady of a couple seasons ago. So that's a good sign for them. So for Oscar Lopez and for my co-host Erica Lynn Anderson, that's not here. Check us out on at Gridiron Beauties on Twitter, at Facebook.com/Gridiron Beauties. Check out our shop at Zazzle.com/Gridiron Beauties. Or you can also go to GridironGirl.org on Saturdays and Friday nights for all the college football scenes that's going on and all the insights as well. So see you next Sunday where we go around the ring and take care of women's care, gridiron news and as well as NFL insights. Have a great Sunday, everybody. Thanks for listening.